Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, today is the 8th of the 5th month, 2025. It is a Thursday evening and the time is 22:03. My name is the Matriarch and I will be your host for this evening. So ladies and gentlemen, today we're diving into a conversation that is not really a conversation that many of us have, not really a conversation that many of us talk about, but we're talking about it nonetheless because, I mean, come on. Who are we to not talk about it? If it's happening to our people, we will talk about it. We'll talk about it. Ngengudi to you. Don't feel it. Because we will talk about it and talk about it and talk about it until there is change. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're talking about the boy child. We're talking about your son. We're talking about your father. We're talking about your brother, your sister, your brother, your uncle, malume, you know, all of it. We're talking about the men. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are talking about the struggles of a black man. What are the struggles of a black man? What happens there by being a black man? What happens? And I'm not discriminating against you guys that are not, black men. I'm more focused on the black man for today. And then I'll talk about the other men tomorrow. So if you are not black and you are Caucasian, it is also a conversation where you can relate to it and where you can also maybe listen to hear and listen to understand. And then we'll dive into the idea of where our conversation is going. So ladies and gentlemen, the black men, when we talk about unemployment and we talk about less advantaged, we talk about violence, we talk about discrimination, we talk about all these negative elements that are put into the light, we associate sometimes the black men's struggles. The black men's struggles are the struggles that make the black man go and be the black man that we aggressively know him to be. But black men are also known to be gentle. Black men are also known to be loving. Black men are also known to be wonderful and nurturers and caretakers and protectors and providers. They are. So we're not just leaning onto the negative, but we're also leaning onto the positive. And within the positive, it is a conversation that I would like for us to have. So the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. I've noticed along the years that when we're taking our boys to school, you know, the first day of school, that grade one, you know, the first day of kindergarten is also hectic. I feel like nobody talks about that day. Like, hey, like for me, my son straight up went and bit me somewhere, Arumatanje, Kokotanje, and I also wanted to bite him back, but you know, we're in front of people, we cannot be biting children back, you know? And it was a rough time. Kindergarten was also a rough time, but grade one was more massive because it was big school. It's big school, it's big books, it's a big bag, it's big shoes, it's uniform, it's no longer you can just go to school in pajamas or you can just go to school in whatever you are wearing. It is really honestly a sense of discipline, a sense of alignment and a sense of principle that works with big school. And the one thing that I've noticed, or part of the things that I've noticed when we are taking most our young ones or our bundles of joy to school for the very first time, is that the class has equivalent children. So if it's public school, for example, it's 40, is it 48? I don't know. Back in the day when I was there, it was like 48. I think we were like 48, 43, but I know we were in the 40s, right? And you have a jungle of children in one class, but it's proportionate. You find that there are 23 boys and then there are 20 girls, or you find that there are 23 girls and then there are 20 boys. It was proportional. That means everybody was giving birth accordingly. Everybody was giving birth in terms of, yes, enough girls, enough boys. It was an equal playing field. Now, when you go to class or when you take your children to class, you notice this, that there are boys in the class and there are girls in the class, and it is a mixture of the two genders, right? And I've also noticed that grade one, there are 40 boys, let's say there are 23 boys, and then there are 20 girls. That's grade one. And then come to varsity, where we are now supposed to take, four classes, right? Four classrooms with the same amount of people into one faculty. And these faculties are now supposed to have proportionate numbers, right? They're supposed to have the 20 boys and the 20 girls, or the 20 boys and the 23 girls. And these are the ones that go and make up a class. Or make up a class of graduates, right? And this is now one field. So in every field, let's say it is 20 fields that are graduating. So it is supposed to be, it's supposed to be an equal playing field, right? It's supposed to balance, because I mean, if we are starting in grade one and we are looking at the numbers, those are the numbers, right? The numbers are half and half, roughly. So graduation comes and it's supposed to be half and half also. So we are supposed to be looking at a gang of young men that are graduating, and we are supposed to be looking at a gang of young women that are graduating. And this is what the picture is supposed to be. But when we look at the picture, and it is a sad reality, because ever since we have known graduation, we have not seen a leveled playing field. We've not seen balance. We've not seen 23 boys and 20 girls. We've not seen those kinds of numbers. We've not seen half and half at graduation. It is always 70% women and 30% men. It has always been 20% women, which are 20% men. All right, you can call back. The number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number. It has always been 80% women and 20% men. Now, I don't know what happens, right? But today I want to figure it out. I want to figure out why the numbers, when it comes to graduation, they don't match they don't even match the grade one graduation, guys. They don't match grade one. As if somewhere along the way, right, the boy child falls out. But where does the boy child fall out to? Where does the boy child go? Where does the boy child go where he doesn't end up at graduation? What happens? What happens along the way there to make the boy child not be part of the school of thought that is now graduating, or the school of medicine that is graduating, or the school of nursing, or the school of engineering, or the school of humanities, or the school of whatever school is graduating? Why is the boy child not part of it? Why is the boy child not represented there by graduation, but they're represented by grade one? Because if we were saying that the boy child doesn't want education, ne? Does that mean that we are just putting the boy child into a school system so that the boy child can learn how to read and write? And then along the way, as long as he knows how to read and write and to speak, then he's perfectly fine. Good evening.
Good evening, Madam Matriarch.
Good evening, Tete Buena. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too, Madam?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, thank God for that, for the mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, otherwise, I heard you talking about graduation.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the one that you are talking about is different from the one that just the paper. How do you say it again?
That it's just the paper. If it's just the paper, go and print yours. How?
That's a degree. That's
yeah.
A degree.
Yeah. Not even it's just a degree. A degree is just a paper. Huh? Go and print yours.
Or maybe just a certificate.
Just a diploma.
Downplay those things.
But usually the people that downplay them are the people that don't have them.
Yeah.
So Tatebwane, what are the struggles of being a black man?
What are the struggles that black men face? Oh my God.
I have time.
There are so plenty.
Okay.
Plenty.
Mm-hmm.
You begin from the time in memorial.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that, you see, of course, we, even before colonialism.
Yeah.
Before this segregated kind of legal laws and all these systems and other things, political system.
Yes.
That imposed on us.
Mm-hmm.
That now is colonialism, and you have this South Africa became apartheid.
Yes.
The same racial segregated kind of a system.
Okay.
It was not even just administered, it was imposed as an administer.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the dispensation, the new dispensation now,
mm-hmm.
you know, we thank God for these people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes even if people downplay some of these important, significant roles that some people really played,
yeah.
Our forefather.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like you said, all these things were, like I said, were done on the mm-hmm. basis of racial, you know,
mm-hmm.
health and all this other thing.
Yes.
Now, when you look at that alone,
mm-hmm.
it tells you that the whole system of governance,
mm-hmm.
and as far as human rights and all these other instruments are concerned.
Yes.
Very few people black were benefiting from this thing.
Okay.
Very few. And the majority of the Stygian
mm-hmm.
were not benefiting from this thing.
Mm.
Talk about social factors, economic factors, politics, you don't even mention.
Mm-hmm.
Because you couldn't even mention the name of Swapo anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise your father would be kicked to hell.
Okay, all the way.
So now the blacks in that, to answer your question shortly, is that all these benefits that came with independence,
okay,
they, most of them were not enjoying it, but at least now we can have access to justice,
mm-hmm.
and have access to education,
mm-hmm.
can have access, there, you know, people are graduating now,
mm-hmm.
the school are integrated,
mm-hmm.
so you have all these things. People are mingling together.
Yeah.
So at that time is white school, color school, and even the administration.
Yes.
So it's all, like I told you, when I started working here,
mm-hmm.
My first work, Minister of Education.
Yeah.
So I was the fourth black person
mm-hmm.
on the ground here.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from the payers and others that mm-hmm. I found there. On a big pair.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I'm saying is that, if you see, only four blacks,
mm-hmm.
where were the blacks and then?
Mm-hmm.
Were they not working?
Mm-hmm.
Were they not involved at the ministries, although they were having departments and all these things? Where were they?
Mm-hmm.
So, in the hospital, and I cannot finish up where maybe you need to, maybe further ask your question again. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is that, there are social issues.
What are the social issues?
The economic issues. Yeah?
What are the social issues and what are the economic issues that you as black men are facing? What is happening there at being a black man?
Say, for example, if you want to access a funding.
Yeah.
So you might not get it because you cannot even show something that you can show as a corrupt security or whatever.
Okay.
So when you get married, for example,
you are poor.
That's what they think.
Okay.
That's what they think.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they see. They think that you are poor.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, but we might have assets. We might have the knowledge. We might have some other issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are also
entitled to some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the social factors are, there are many things like marriage before, you know, I was just trying to give you an example. If you want to have a loan from the bank,
mm-hmm.
obviously they ask you whether you are married or not, with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Even women before, they were not even getting the, what, this finance, I mean, the access and whatever. Mm-hmm. So when your father is in Olangemun, for example, I'm just giving an example.
Yeah.
Even my father used to work in Olangemun.
Mm-hmm.
But I was managing all those affairs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
My mother.
Mm-hmm.
But before she kills a goat or whatever, maybe she has to ask the father, the husband.
Mm.
So the same apply in the modern life.
Mm.
There are still those, and I went to economic and social sector because they might be over-raping.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are so many politics. I say that one you can, it's a no-go area.
Mm-hmm.
So even where you are now, where I am, wherever we are,
mm.
Those were not there, even the whole of Windhoek West.
Mm-hmm. But that was in colonial times, and then that was also part of the aftermath of apartheid, right?
So,
but now that we are independent for 35 years, what are the struggles that you black men are actually facing in current times?
I was just giving you a preamble, but
yes, I understand.
And the things that I'm saying, mm-hmm. like I said, Windhoek West, Eros, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Even Parnell Park.
Mm-hmm.
There are no blacks there.
Yeah.
So these are some, why are they not there? Because they were prevented. Mm-hmm. They were not giving those things.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't benefit from the economy, mm-hmm. the country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting
you. Yeah, you know, I
fully
understand.
It was a struggle. I was part of those people who were, advocating and lobbying and whatever. So that the black can also get in town.
Yeah. I understand that.
So let me explain.
Okay.
You say you have got time. Why can't you allow me to explain?
I'm trying to steer you into contemporary times.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the contemporary.
Mm.
I'm talking, all these things I'm talking about, they are contemporary issues.
Okay.
After independence.
Yeah.
And even though there are still challenges, and I'm going to conclude with those challenges, okay?
Yeah.
So, these are benefits that were not enjoyed by the black.
Mm.
Okay?
Yes.
So, now you are enjoying this black. I mean, this benefits, you could stay, you are living in Parnell Park or whatever.
Mm.
And where, like I mentioned, Windhoek West.
Yeah.
Tell me that the people in Windhoek West, now you have find buildings, offices there, by the way, houses.
Yeah.
So now to answer your question and conclude,
mm-hmm.
You said now, at the moment,
mm-hmm.
they are still facing those things that I have mentioned also,
mm-hmm.
tenses.
Mm-hmm.
You are still told that maybe some of these things, I think these are homegrown things, you have known them.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Because I know it. So, and this knowledge,
mm-hmm.
this awareness is not known by most of those graduates there. Because
mm-hmm.
especially when it comes to SWAPO.
Mm.
And whenever you are speaking about, not really SWAPO, or just talking about things that I have mentioned here,
mm-hmm.
it was the other program I was going to be cut off a long time ago.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So these are things that we are, the black, even now ourselves, we are still facing when it comes to press freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You say we are second, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But what are we doing in our houses?
Mm-hmm.
Do we appreciate and praise this press freedom that you are talking about?
Mm-hmm.
We don't, because we are not in agreement, cut off,
mm-hmm.
cut off.
Mm-hmm.
So now, these are things that we are now enjoying, viewing our views and things like that, mm-hmm. interact, people are interacting from Katima and all wherever, everywhere,
mm-hmm.
social interaction and all these things people are doing, even in the marriage.
Yeah.
These are things that we should appreciate.
Mm.
So just look at your constitution, which was not there.
Mm.
People always say now, apparently it was cut and paste.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at it. And look at the history.
Yeah.
Maybe you just say 1984 to 1915, when all this colonialism and all this are part of the nation. And look at it now.
Okay.
So, any other thing perhaps we want us to
say? I want to know if you, when you are looking at the young men, the young black men of this country, what do you think they are facing? Apart from the things that you mentioned, because the things that you mentioned are very much relevant and they are very much active. It's only that they are active in a domicile manner. They are active in a passive aggressive way. So when it's passive aggressive, it is more of the behavior instead of saying it, right? So they.
I told you when I present even in the class or wherever, I will not be saying, oh, yes, you know, look at these things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll finish, I'll present this straight to the point and finish. And I don't want to take much of the time.
Mm.
Like this time around, I think you have maybe it's only 5 minutes or so. But I will have spoken.
Mm-hmm.
So now the black man is facing many, many challenges. Do you see people
such
in the
what?
Street? Oh, I'm missing about social sector. Now I talk about
social
economic
factors.
Now. Factors.
Okay, social factors, such as?
Yes. Oh, housing that I told,
okay,
hospitals,
housing.
The roads.
Okay, what about the road? What about the housing? What about the hospital?
If you go to the... most of our people, they still do not have resources.
Mm-hmm. Why don't they have resources?
Oh, can we not just put this question?
Because the thing is that...
Number one, education.
Yeah.
Education.
Is education...
information, the connectivity. Connectivity.
Okay. They are.
People are still improving their thing. You know, you see, when you go to, say, for example, Ongenga,
mm-hmm.
that side, you know, where I've been, you know, I move a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A person who is doing the master in the youth and development,
yes.
is NAMCOP.
Yeah.
He does not have access to internet or Wi-Fi there.
Okay.
Even if you have got your credit
mm-hmm.
enough to hotspot your to connect to study, mm-hmm. they're not there.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you go to Mgurumi.
Mm-hmm. But all those issues, but those issues are issues that affect both genders. I'm talking about things that affect
I'm not talking about men. So when I say like this, men are mostly affected. Suicide.
Mm.
Suicide.
Yes.
Are you saying the social factors, issues? Suicide.
I understand.
Men are more dying. Why are they dying? Of course, there are many reasons. They say, no, poverty. They say this, other one. They say this one. Some of them are true. Some of them are, maybe they are just contributing factors.
Mm.
So there are so many.
Yes, there are so many, but that's why we are having this show, to highlight them. Now, one of the things that I picked up within our conversation here that you said is a challenge for black men is discrimination in the workplace on basis of gender. So you can graduate and you can have your degree and you take it, you go and apply just like everybody else, but the likelihood of you being taken for the position is very slim because their preference is a woman.
So many.
Mm-hmm.
So many. All I'm saying
now we want to talk about
men.
All of them, ne? You cannot say so many.
That's why I just
But that's the thing, right? We all assume that everybody should know and we don't have time to talk about all of them.
We have time. I've mentioned.
That's what I'm saying. But
spiritually, you know? Spiritually.
Okay.
Let's talk about spiritual issues.
All right. What are the spiritual issues that men are facing?
men are facing.
Yeah, the spiritual issues that men are facing.
You know, the understanding, some of them, not saying all the men. Yes, we need to differentiate. You might not just pine the whole thing with the kind
together.
Of
together.
No. So many of the men, and I know this, you know, because I used to be involved in spiritual issues, teaching, you know, this kind of house caring fellowship. And then when I used to teach adult literacy in the community there.
What was the majority of the gender in your class?
No. This one, it is actually men.
It was men, eh?
Yeah, but I know.
Why?
I think the challenge there, you know, adult literacy, and literacy rate and things like that. So they also wanted to solve their immediate problems.
Okay.
And, you know, after work, you know, and sometimes, you know, I don't know, the women were also engaged in these things, but I know, So instead of now going to sit down there, now I see the whole communities are populated by cats.
Okay, just hold the line, Tatebi.
Okay.
Tired of being stuck in queues or left on hold? Our online sign-up lets you get the connection you need in just a few minutes. Simply head to paratus.africa/Namibia and press the online sign-up button. Then choose from our exciting ranges of fiber, Sky-Fi or mobile LTE products. Fill in the application form and you're already done. Of course, you'll also enjoy free installation on your new package. Sign up online today to enjoy effortless connectivity.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm back.
Oh, greet your people first.
I know, I already said good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. So, you thought adult literacy...
Let me itemize two, maybe two or three, and then we go to the second part.
Okay.
So, the one you see many... So, you know, this... So, I don't know whether it's a taboo... Or also the fear of an eye of the unknown, or even maybe the language, because I've seen that most of the men, I mentioned about suicide there, and the reason why most of these young men and men are committing suicide, it is also now getting into the young ones.
Okay.
The school children, I've heard a lot of incidents about children taking their life. So there are also economic pressure that are applied by women. Yes. Economic pressure, men are passing through this, the other time we're talking about psychological abuse. So that has got a very serious negative impact on the life of the men. Why? So women, as many of the women, I mean, not I don't see men, but I have seen that even themselves they confess that. So most of the women, because some of these men are in relationship of one way or the other, so they are also experiencing some of the abuse, maybe economic abuse actually. Actually, and psychological. So this, some of these things are so invisible. You ask why, and they said yes, they want to their status. Their status, social status, economic or political status, and all these other issues. They're also being challenged. I mean, you're not a man. You're not a thing. That kind of abuse.
You can't provide. It's a money that doesn't do something.
Okay.
It will be very difficult to be. I think it's only a humble and virtuous woman, wife, mm-hmm. who can really entertain some of these things.
Okay.
Otherwise, the man has to run away.
Mm.
Or you die in that silence.
Yeah.
So, in conclusion, you know, if you look at some of this study, like the one that was done by the University of Namibia,
mm-hmm.
talking about underperformance, underachievement, and underparticipation of male
mm-hmm.
students.
Yeah.
That's the university. And you go to all these university institutions of higher learning, mm-hmm. or the special education institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Even the, when I say teacher, I include now the VTC.
Yeah.
But if you go to this higher learning institution, UNAM and OIS, you find out that the majority of the people who are graduating,
mm-hmm.
even those who have graduated today, I thank God for my daughter there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it is majority women.
Mm-hmm.
Why are the men not there? Maybe it's a discussion, it's a further discussion for another day.
Mm-hmm. It's a part of this conversation because I want to understand your struggles. I want to understand what keeps you guys up at night. What is it that you guys are facing?
Well, we are facing gender-based violence.
Mm.
We are facing those issues that are affecting men like suicide and all this unemployment and things like that. And
but
the language.
In order for us to understand a few things, right, we have to dive mm-hmm. deeper than just the results of things. So the question is,
let's sponsor the program one day.
Mm-hmm.
We organize nicely, and then you call Dr. Shen and all this. You can also go to VS with just a special program so that we really deeply mark. So we do deal with some of this because I think this is a very quite good program
mm-hmm.
to really deep the things. Unlike most of the platform, of course, we also used to have
why are the boys center. Not going to school?
Mm-hmm. So sometimes
I'm asking you that, Tebwana.
Yes, I'm saying sometimes you send them to go and look for kettles.
Instead.
And when they mitika,
mm-hmm.
when they mitika in school,
mm-hmm.
you know the kind of stigma.
Okay.
No. Yeah, what change what? Because most of these pregnancy schools and pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
they also happen between boys and school. And you find out that there is a husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are students.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a boy is there and is not coached enough, and is not properly, made aware, that you can also be a father and in the school and learning at the same time or in the student at the same time. So
boys are really stigmatized for getting somebody pregnant because that conversation, especially around teenage pregnancy, that conversation has mainly been we have shone light on the girl child, but we have not shone light on the person that's getting her pregnant, who is the boy child. So do they really get embarrassed for making somebody pregnant and drop out of school?
No, maybe they might feel proud or that they have fathered, but they run away from school many a time.
Why?
So, and the pressure is that you have to provide. Like I said, if you cannot provide.
Do they really now go out of school to go and look for jobs to provide, or do they just stay at home?
Most of those people who stay at home,
mm-hmm.
according to my observation,
yes,
are mostly graduates, those who have finished grade 12.
No, I'm talking about the ones that make other people pregnant. I'm talking about
they run away from school.
To go and do what?
To go and look after our cattle in the farms.
To go and look after whose kettle?
Your kettles in the farm and then pregnant more children again. more school children again. Most of those pregnancy that we see in the regions, they are actually done by those cattle herders.
The cattle herders that drop out of school.
Some of them drop out of school. Some of them came from somewhere, but they were anyway, they were in school at one point of in their life.
And then they left school because they got somebody pregnant.
Some of them do that. Yes, the studies are there.
I'm asking because this is something that I don't know. And the reason that I brought up the conversation is to ask you men what you guys are going through. Anoshikwashike. So that you guys can tell us.
They are in the same school with their girlfriend.
Yeah.
The one is pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, if you do not really make them seriously understand and accept the things, one of them will run away.
So they run away because of shame, because now we cannot hide our relationship anymore and our relationship does not look normal anymore, because normal teenagers, they are not pregnant. Normal teenagers are just enjoying themselves and they're having their fun, but they are not pregnant.
We are shaming the person. We are bullying the person. So, and maybe the wife now, who is your wife, right? This is going to in Kavango, for example. I'm just specific because these things are practiced most of the time. We have heard it from social workers. We have heard it from the meetings. So now, so you really need to make sure that even the boys, they bully themselves and say, yes, you're not even looking after your wife or your girlfriend and things like that. There are so many things that are happening. Those social, emotional, whatever, there's a way that they combine all those factors that really affect men, although they also affect women. So they drop out of school and say, if you, I recommend you that you check on this book that I'm talking about, the study, the countrywide study. And you see all those agencies and all everybody is making use of it. Why boys are underachievement and underparticipation in education. And you can, like I mentioned, all these institutions, it's happening and they are dropping out. And they are not getting, because they feel that, like I said, they are coming from relationship. Maybe their relations, their family members. Family of the they, of course, we are not encouraging people to, you need to do something with your hands. So that at least, but the understanding that yes, you might also at one point do not have a job. And if this situation comes in your way, this is how to overcome it. You prepare psychologically, clinically, that. So there are quite a number of issues that are really affecting men. So we didn't talk much about
it. And the men that go to adult literacy class, why do they go to adult literacy class?
I asked myself, because I went to adult literacy class.
Why did you go?
It's important. It's important because it can equip you with functional skills.
Okay.
For you to survive in society.
Okay.
It addresses the immediate and the strategic needs of your life.
Okay, which are?
So get employment. You get also, you get recognition also. We're talking about special shelters and things like that. And then one time you can also find yourself presenting in the radio. Like myself, I even though I'm not presenting in my radio, but I do talk.
I'm presenting, yes.
So there are so many things today. You know, when you get functional skills, so first we start with the language, you know, what do they call it, the numeracy. So those who are doing business, so they're able to know the bookkeeping. So this is what I do. This is my profit. Tomorrow I'll buy this and this again. If I've got, I'm here now. So we used to teach them, you know, this, you know, it's like life skill, man. I don't know what they teach in life skill anyway, because that's why I question that kind of the arrangement, because mm-hmm. I'm not so sure whether they are really getting the what you are talking about. So mm-hmm. maybe I'm not saying that, but the way I'm looking at it, mm-hmm. you can even see the results is telling you on those studies that we are quoting.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's how it is, my friend. I think I forgot. I don't know whether you.
So the men and the majority of the class are filled
about
with men.
Literacy.
Yes.
Let me finish up on the literacy. Why they go for literacy?
Yeah, men.
Men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to administer medication for a child.
Mm-hmm.
Just eat two spoons. Even if you draw a picture there, 1, 2, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So. They were still that skills, that competence or whatever. I mean, that what is it called? You call it competence now or skills?
Okay.
That's awareness.
Mm.
So to be able to also help you how to you know administer issues of that nature. There are a lot of issues that that literacy skill is important.
No, I understand that it is important. I understand that. But I want to understand the student. I want to understand why a 45-year-old man that has not read and written his whole entire life will choose to come from his house to go and sign up for the literacy class. What makes him want to do that?
Functional skills.
Functional skills.
Mm-hmm, the competency.
Okay, so it's language.
Then not only the language, the notion of accounting, books,
mm-hmm.
bookkeeping.
Mm-hmm.
I told you about entrepreneurship because you become an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of them, you know, become entrepreneur, employ people. You know, when you talk about adult education.
Yeah.
Adult education, let me tell you how it is. Maybe just in a minute or so.
Mm-hmm.
So adult education is the, before you do adult education, you must understand formal. It's an integration of formal education and non-formal education.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And informal education, those three systems of education.
Yeah.
I've mentioned now.
Mm-hmm.
Informal, non-formal, and adult education, non-formal education. Those lifelong learning things. So what you are getting there is lifelong learning capabilities.
Yeah.
So you now learn in your life because a 45 years old or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Today I was somebody, he was asking me because he was when we were at university, he said he was 40 what? Was 40 something.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me today.
Mm-hmm.
And he became a graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to work.
Mm-hmm.
And adult education, why people really decide to do that, is the foundation. Because it starts home, from home. Charity starts from where?
Mm-hmm.
From home. The upbringing, the socialization. That's why when you look at those agents of socialization.
So you don't feel bad when your kids can read and you cannot read?
Yeah, they can teach you. Because they can teach you how to read if you are interested. If you have, there's a will.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing. As long as they know that if you cannot read, They will not think that their father or mother is not educated.
Mm.
I hope that's not the understanding. Mm.
That's not the understanding. I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, many of them think like that. They say, my father is not educated.
Mm.
I know my children were not saying that, but when I pronounce a word, and I'm with them.
This one.
They always correct me.
This one?
Somewhere there, they may not correct me, they will just laugh. So they collect you. Mm-hmm. So the pronunciation, no, that even the small ones, they say, no, that's
it. It's not like that.
It's not how our teachers, because these teachers nowadays, they are well taught, my friend. They only pronounce, even if you are, yesterday we were talking about, imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, whatever, ring, I said, me, I'm a Kwanyama now, and all this thing, I don't have, the, you know, they are.
Mm.
So, these ones, they will correct you and say, it is not like that. This is how, and you cannot teach it because if you listen now,
mm.
because some of them, they listen to those things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know already that, that's why me, I learn in my adult life. I learn every time. When somebody is speaking,
mm-hmm.
I pay attention and write, and I know if I used to pronounce the word wrongly perhaps,
mm-hmm.
I would take note of the pronunciation, the correct pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
Except the name. The name, they kill me unless I repeat it many times.
Okay.
So this is, I'm very happy with the conversation that is going on there.
So adult like men go into the adult learning program to basically enhance their futures and their skills while they still have time. They go inside there to go and learn and also be capable of managing their assets and acquiring assets or even jobs.
Whatever you want to do, as long as it's lawful, you go and get the, you learn, you get into the mainstream of the economy,
mm-hmm.
you can build your asset, of course. Why not?
If not, why not? Okay.
So, like I told you, what are the challenges that, I'm in summary, in conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have mentioned about the challenges that came even before the independence, mm-hmm. pre-independence, we mentioned about the modern ones that are here,
mm-hmm.
the one that they translated from there.
Yeah.
They are still being dealt with because you also find discriminatory policies.
Mm.
And the rules and all these things. We still have to amend and challenge and do all these things.
Yeah.
Men are still facing challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you also ask, even in the workplace, you find, even in the way you distribute resources or whatever.
Yeah.
So you have to look at, oh, this one is Buana.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this one is, oh, this one is Esther.
Mm-hmm.
This one is Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this one is, so is benefiting from this, but this other one should not benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Are those not discriminatory policies?
It is.
We still need to do to deal with them. Mm-hmm. Men are still facing those things and social issues that I mentioned about.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much, ma'am. Elizabeth, I love your conversation and good night.
All right. Thank you so much, Tate Buana. Have a good night to you.
All right.
Ciao. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, today I'm asking you guys serious questions because I really genuinely want to know what are the struggles that men, black men, are facing in our contemporary Namibia? Because we're looking at grade one. Grade one has a balance of boys and girls, and all of a sudden, final year graduation, not final year of grade one, but final year graduation, we are doing our degrees, we're doing certificates and whatever qualifications we're doing. We get there and it's 80% women and 20% men. So what are the struggles? What are you guys facing that is bringing you guys to a point where, you are not finishing school, where you are just, good evening.
Dimitri.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine, Kume. How are you?
I'm fine also.
That's wonderful. What are your struggles as a man, as a black man?
Yeah, I just heard the question, apparently, if I heard correctly, what are the struggles that black men are facing in contemporary Namibia?
Yeah.
And you were saying grade one, disabilities,
mm-hmm.
10 girls, 10 boys, and
yes.
so forth and so forth.
Yes.
Okay, so per my understanding, I'm just going to rush through quickly,
mm-hmm.
Because I like to listen to your voice. One, mm-hmm. Where the phone's not the same.
Thanks.
So, I think the struggles that contemporary Namibian black men are going through are just...
I need you to go closer to your phone because we can't really hear you properly.
Okay, how about now?
Absolutely.
Yes, the struggles that we men go through in contemporary Namibia are getting accustomed to a new norm. Getting accustomed to a new norm is now the way it used to be. Okay, the boys are the leaders, the men are the leaders. It's now women are now also leaders. If we look at everything honestly, you know, we are sharing boardrooms with women, girls, ladies. We are sharing everything. And it has reached a point where the women are more. If we look at
everything,
everywhere, nurses, doctors, everywhere you look at, right? The women are more.
The women are more, most because they are graduating.
It's like the girl child is studying more, you know?
Yeah. The girl child is fitting into corners that in an otherwise time, she wouldn't have been there because her place was the kitchen.
If we, you are correct. Yeah. If we look at households, right? Where it used to be the man who's providing, coming from CDM, you know, Oranjemund. There's no longer Oranjemund. Now it is the paper that is feeding us.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, the women.
Mm-hmm.
If women are driving big cars, you know. So now men don't know what to do anymore. So now it's like they're scared. But can't you just coexist with our people? It's our sisters, it's our wives, it's our mothers. So can't we just embrace it now? We don't have to work harder. Me, for one, me, I'm enjoying it. I'm not having struggles in contemporary Namibia. So I've transitioned extremely well, you know, because I was not an alpha male per se, like a dominant, not dominant, but one that doesn't give opportunity. If we are in a thing together, right, yes, there's your day, we have timetable. Yeah, so with me, it has been a balance from the beginning, but my own understanding in it has helped me to be in contemporary Namibia. I don't feel anything. I just feel sorry for the others that were like, yeah, if the men talk, the women must keep quiet. Now it is the men who must keep quiet. But you don't.
But why do they have to keep quiet?
I don't know. It is that thing within them, that voice. You know, everyone has a voice. Yeah, now the men's voice is that one. They think, oh, this man is disrespectful. And it goes down even to relationships. You know, men don't even go and face these women with doctorates and PhDs and whatnot and whatnot because they are scared. No, this woman will go control me.
And I thought, okay.
She will not go control me. Maybe 1%, you know, a small percentage might control me because now they're enjoying their power most, right?
Okay.
So, but for the most part, can't you just embrace the moment now? You have more time to stay at home and watch your soccer. And do whatever you want to do because the woman is bringing her part and she's helping. You just have to do a little bit, just a manly way. Go clean the yard, take the kids to school. You know, you
then why are the men committing suicide?
It's those ones that grow up in a household where it was just housewives. Their mothers were housewives. So they don't know this thing. They are struggling. When they lose their job, they could commit suicide. No.
They are struggling because they don't know how to exist in a world where a woman is providing for us.
The breadwinner.
She's the breadwinner. So now, part of the problem, especially there when we say, they unalive themselves because they lose jobs.
I'm not worthy anymore.
I'm not worthy anymore. So part of the struggle of a black man is being worthy. And being worthy is associated to the pocket.
Pocket power.
Pocket power. So when the pocket is not pocketing, then his self-esteem goes out the window.
Yes, and it goes back to these people that we used to look up to, you know?
Yeah.
The ones who
our uncles.
Successful.
Our uncles with 20 girlfriends.
You'll be told, Kucha, in men, one hour, men, one
I know.
Now, if it's a young child, you, you're picking up or no. You listen and you believe.
Yeah.
And it becomes your reality and you strive and you work for one hour name or manjato manjato mukaremo is sharp.
Mm-hmm. But we also don't analyze the times that this person was living in to make their money, and we don't analyze the times that we are living in, because in the times that we are living in, we need a two income household, right? And
it was easy to make money back then.
Now
contemporary black Namibian male now.
Yeah.
We're put in that position.
Yeah.
Those people were uneducated. They made good money.
Yeah.
So now, as we're educated, we have that smartness from them. So we would have been times 100.
Yeah.
So.
But the dynamics shifted, and we are no longer working
anymore. Everything is closed.
Yeah.
Now it is just that way of the paper.
Yeah.
And really just.
And even with the paper. There are also other barriers, because now we are all for the girl child, and the girl child must be given an opportunity to thrive. So even if you guys are 14 girls and one boy for the interview, the boy is definitely not getting it. Because we are for the gender equality movement, but we press so much on the gender equality movement that we don't give the boy child a chance.
Yeah, and also, with that, I'd like to add on to that.
Please.
Like, if the boy child is abused or harassed or,
traumatized.
Anything that is bad done unto them.
Yeah.
By a female.
Yeah.
They don't even go report or speak about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because, hey, you're not a man, you are.
Okay.
And then this trauma becomes so much, and then the people who commit suicide.
But where does that silence stem from if it doesn't stem from kindergarten?
From the grassroots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, apart from the family dynamics, right? Can we also talk about what we teach our children? So you have a son and a daughter, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So your son comes back from school and he is beaten up by a girl and he's being bullied by a girl.
Mm-hmm.
What do you tell him to do?
Okay. Me, I'm for...
Hi, Ernest!
Were you wrong for the... Did you do something?
No, you're just being bullied, just like any other bully situation. The only difference here is gender.
Okay. Me, what I tell the boy, if the person is making you feel bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
You must make him feel bad also.
Okay, how? How if the boy child every day is being told in school, boys don't beat girls?
No, you must beat him. I will go with you to school. We will go beat that person.
That girl.
Yeah.
We will go and beat that girl.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to beat, but I'm going. And then I tell
the I'm going to watch you. I'm going to watch you, my son, beat up a girl at school.
Yes.
Wait, think about it first. Process.
Is there another question?
No! Because I don't have another...
Now you want the mother to listen to what we talk about.
I want us to marinate on this one, because this is the problem that we are facing, because, right, our boy children are growing up to be timid and to be what? Because they are being bullied by girls, and they never anticipated that girls could be bullies. And now they don't know how to stand up for themselves against bullies that have pom-poms. And that is why you guys are being beaten in your relationships and being emotionally abused and everything in your relationships, right? And you guys are not reporting it, and that's why you end up killing people's daughters. And people don't even say things like the daughter was really a bad person. No, they just look at the boy or they look at the man as a monster because the monster killed their beloved, innocent, wonderful daughter that has never done anything wrong. But if you check this man's body, he's got a couple of stab wounds.
Yeah, let me answer the question.
All right.
Me, the principal at the school knows me personally. Even.
Okay.
I think if I call, I don't even need to introduce myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because me, I know where the school is and I pay lots of money. Mm-hmm. I think my child could get bullied by
anyone.
Children, whether it is a girl or it is a boy or mm-hmm. a teacher or whosoever,
mm-hmm.
or not even the principal or the owner.
Mm-hmm.
The moment that I hear that the school is so open, we go back there, then I go to the office and I say, this is the matter here.
Mm-hmm.
Solve it as soon as possible.
Okay.
I will ask my child
mm-hmm.
if this matter was resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Let me not come back here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, and then your child becomes bullied for being bullied by a girl.
No. The matter is addressed holistically.
Mm-hmm.
It must not have a ripple effect where it is resolved here with one person.
Mm-hmm.
School meeting must be held. The bell must ring.
Mm-hmm.
All these children must know.
That bullying is wrong.
If there's a bully here,
mm-hmm.
we don't want our school to close.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way that I deal with things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't deal to solve this one problem here
mm-hmm.
while there's still another fire coming. Then I must still come back. Still could call fire brigade. Please borrow me your water.
Mm.
I have another fire. No.
Mm.
If something is wrong, just close the gate quickly.
Mm.
Nobody in, nobody out. While everyone is here.
Mm.
Hey, what is the matter here?
Mm.
This one is a bully here. You see, bullying. This is the problem here.
Mm.
So if there's anyone who is still thinking of continuing or starting the behavior of or picking up this bullying disease, then this is not the place.
Okay.
So no bullying will come again for someone being bullied.
Okay.
Yes,
and then your child goes to grade 8.
Mm-hmm.
And there you don't know the principal,
mm-hmm.
nothing like that. Then your child gets bullied by a girl.
Mm-hmm.
What are you telling your child? So you're going to go to school again?
I will go myself. I go personally. I'll go to school again.
Okay, then your child goes to first year. They're being bullied by a child.
No, I'll go to school. But this one is most now a bigger child.
Mm.
This is most now high school.
Mm.
Yes, this one I go talk to her personally. Me, myself.
Okay.
Yes, I'll wait for her parents to come.
Okay.
Yes, I'll go very early.
Okay.
Wait
and
for
then,
her parents.
I understand. And then grade, and then university first year comes, and then your child is being bullied by a girl. Then what?
No, before we reach university now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before we even reach high school.
Okay.
We'll have a conversation. I'll call the mother because the mother has a bit more knowledge on how to handle issues, you know?
Okay.
So we are taking it as a family.
It's a family problem, this one. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So we will educate, meet together with my wife, we'll educate this boy child. You know?
What are we teaching him?
We're first teaching him what the definition of a bully is.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
To understand that we find good people and we find bad people who are called bullies.
Mm.
And this is how people become bullies.
Mm.
Because of A, B, C, and D.
Mm.
And this is how to avoid being bullied.
Mm.
This is how you deal with a situation that might escalate to you being bullied.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So you can avoid it, you can identify it,
mm-hmm.
and you have tools and mechanisms to defend yourself, because we will not be here forever.
Mm-hmm.
We might not be there even for high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reality. So you need to be able to stand on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll tell the mother, proceed.
Oh, and then the mother tells you, which my dear, the girl's beating bit back, huh?
Yeah, because if I proceed, if you... Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't like to be threatened,
mm-hmm.
to be made feel scared,
mm.
not okay.
I hear you.
Yeah.
So, but then, okay, but then, right? Mm-hmm. I understand that we are dealing with a child and we have somewhat given him enough tools. But I feel not enough tools, given him tools of some degree. But then I feel like we have given him a butter knife and he's going to a gunfight. And this is exactly what happens along the way because no, we will not hear about other people's kids being bullied because we are not other kids' parents. You see, these are the things now that will make him say that I'll never talk about it again because...
No, because, I think of karate class.
Yeah. So, I think, right, what we must do as parents... that have boy children and girl children. It's very difficult. It's very difficult because the truth is, if your child was being bullied by another boy, you would tell him to kick him back. You would tell him to beat him back. But then, now, because the bully is a girl, there are gender roles put into place and it becomes a gender-based violence situation instead of a violent situation.
You find naughty girl children.
No, it's
they
not naughty, my dear.
Into the toilet. They beat the child and you can't go in the toilet.
In the girl's toilet. Now your child is angry every day because of the injustices that are happening to him. But teacher is saying boys don't beat girls. But he's not saying girls don't beat boys. It's apparently teaching you, the boy child, to have self-control and just ignoring the fact that they are raising little demon girls that are going to abuse people's sons and then they are going to get killed for it.
The material.
Yeah?
The people say apparently the police don't work.
Mm.
If you want to see the police working and apparently there's no cars, go touch a woman.
Yeah. But when a woman touches you, apparently you must be a man. But what does being a man say now? So women are not supposed to be touched, but women are allowed to be emotionally damaging. They are allowed to be physically damaging. They are allowed to be verbally abusive. They are allowed to be all these things. And I advocate deeply for the boy child and the girl child because I have both. I don't want my son to be abused by some girl that's coming from wherever she's coming from. Just like I don't want my daughter to be abused by some guy that's coming from wherever he's coming from.
You know, what's funny.
I can't hear you.
You know what's funny?
Yeah.
The other day, a guy is breaking up with a girl.
Yeah.
This girl decides, you want to leave me.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going anywhere. It's not over. No. This relationship is
it's
not
over.
It's over
when I say it's over.
It's only over when I say it's over.
How? I don't anymore. I don't want. You don't want really. So come, let's go. Hey.
Where will you go, you?
Like, what does that mean even? So now your poor son is just stuck with some girl, eh? Because she said things like, where will you go? And now your self-worth is just tied to this person's image of you. But let's go back to the real problem. I think maybe we as parents and as educators have a problem there by addressing the real elephant in the room. Because we are telling the boy child, which you are a man, my dear. You must not let other men put ears on you. You are not a woman. And you are like,
who's the minister?
I cannot hear, like you keep doing something to your phone.
Who is the Minister of Youth and Sport? Is Mr. Balotti, right?
He's the deputy, but I think... If he's running for president, me, you guys know where my vote is, guys. If that guy is going to run for president, my vote is definitely there. The guy is doing things, guys.
No. Look, he's very active.
He's very active. He's really sports and culture.
And he's easy to reach.
Mm-hmm.
He's easy to reach.
He's for the people.
He's outside.
Guys, Esperanza has been a social media person all of her career. And then all of a sudden, when she became minister, there's nothing that's happening on her pages.
These girls are wearing these meme clothes now in parliament.
Guys, it's like marriage. Becoming a minister, you just become like a married auntie automatic.
No, guys. Man, don't know. We voted that is why I applaud my other people that just go there with the shit, man. Straight. It's hot. Oh.
And I don't have money for suits.
Yeah. Oh, not come here to look nice. We came here to discuss serious things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but continue.
Yeah, no, we need to engage the minister.
Okay.
The second minister, that one.
The deputy.
We need to, yeah. Oh, he's the first, second.
We must engage. They look great, man. Those you ones, to, like, yeah.
You need to engage him, and you need to be contacted to answer as a ministry, as a government. Mm-hmm. How are they balancing this thing? Because this question is very big for me to be answering.
Yeah, because
I cannot answer this way or answer that way.
Both ways
are just wrong. So it needs to hire somebody to tackle it so we know what we must tell our kids.
Because I've heard everybody when a girl is beating another girl and they go and tell their mother, the first thing that the mother says is to beat her back. Yeah? Beat her back. Then she gets beaten by a boy and then it is could tell teacher la. Why are we telling teacher here now? Yeah. Go tell teacher so that we make it a gender based violence thing.
If you go this lady, it's just an alcoholic. She comes home and then she beats you with a bottle today. Tomorrow you are thrown in the iron. The day that you just snap also and you just throw a paper.
A paper. You throw a paper. The person has thrown a fridge at you. You throw a paper. Or Sherry Jehanset.
Before you say sorry, before the why is...
The police is there. Gender-based violence.
You can see the light.
Our right women. Chisale. And it's just the same way as if you don't pay me, I'll say that you raped me.
Oh, I don't know. People are in jail for rape, my dear. Rape goes somewhere.
So, what does that say about the girl child?
One thing. If it's like that, they'll take you back now to where I found you.
This is used goods, this one. It's not what I wanted. You
want to bring for me?
Yeah.
Because I can really see where it's going.
Yeah.
It's not going to end well.
It doesn't.
Days are not the same.
Days are not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm human.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. So maybe one day I'll also throw a fridge.
Yeah.
So I think our problem about the struggle of black men, when I look at our problem, my friend, I don't see our problem as a nothing. I see our problem as kindergarten. That is what the problem is. The problem is what we are taught as children. We are taught that
even to go into a class,
when
you are in a queue, the girl's queue is going inside first.
Yeah, apparently it's gentlemen.
Everywhere is the just girls.
Queue first. Yeah, the girls are always preference. They are always preferred. You are treated as the boy child. You are treated like a second citizen in your own country.
No, man.
Yeah.
No, wait. Give your sister.
No. Like, you know what one of the struggles of black men is in contemporary Namibia is that you have to give up your education so that the people can pay for your sister to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And you are not asked, it is implied. If you guys are twins and your parents don't have money, ne? And your sister wants to go and study, you guys have the exact same point and everything, and your parents really don't have money for nothing, ne? They will basically guilt you into saying that you are not gonna go to school, and then they can pay for your sister. But then what does that say about your future as a man?
You
because apparently you are a provider and you are a hustler.
You can go hustle.
I know a hustler, ne a hustler do kunye kula ne ngo di.
A hustler do not the dapata ne.
Eh, I know not like let's not even look
at. We look at the legal ones now.
No, let's not even look at the legal ones because a person that is going to first year, my friend, ne that's a baby. A baby doesn't make it to the legal hustle. Eh, you like some people have only seen some people on in the newspaper and on TV. They it's just not up your alley. You see? So maybe those are the struggles that we need to talk about because also this is really what you guys are going through. If your parents had to choose between your sister getting an education and you getting an education, most probably your mother will root for you because she maybe loves you, but the person with the money who is your father now, ne? He is definitely going to pay for your sister. I want to go to school.
Oh.
And then you become the monster most now because toka denga nega sister kwe. And then it's going to be, there's gender-based violence.
Do you tell the parents that I'm stupid or what?
Hey, I know, it's now gender-based violence, huh? Pifane no policy, man. And you, because you slapped her, eh? You will go and sit for 6 months, my dear. Nobody's going to withdraw that case. But she, if she slaps you, she will never make it to any cell. Because she will cry there, and then your mother will cry to you and appeal to you. Or and your father will intimidate you, kuchakufa mwe kisa. Toningi kisa ashikano, ove kushin lumenwano. Like, then it questions your masculinity and your manhood.
Oh, let me go listen to it.
I think, right, what we need to teach the boy child, in all honesty, and this is not to be mean or to be a critic or to be anything. I think what we need to teach our boy children from a young age, ne, is that, listen, my son, this system is not for you. This system is rigged against you. Like everything that you are going to do in life is never going to be easy. It's going to be times 10 for you just because you are a boy. So you stay out of trouble. Because the system will never beg you. Maybe that's what we must teach the boy child.
It's true.
So that the boy child...
Until the system maybe normalizes later.
Wait you. We'll die without that system not normalizing. To maybe go and normalize with our great-grandchildren. But...
Yeah. Hence why...
Yeah.
Hence why countries in the Arab countries...
Yeah.
Like Dubai,
mm-hmm.
for example,
mm-hmm.
there are many things that women are blocked from doing.
Yeah.
So that they are kept in check.
Yeah.
You cannot control it anymore.
Yeah.
So let them just stay like that.
Yeah.
Because the moment we give them this equal thing, their equality goes higher.
Mm-hmm. And then we also noticed that some genders are just better than others, especially in mathematics, accounting, doctoring.
I think men lose focus quickly. And women are more focused.
Yeah. But women are more focused because women are... They are hungry for it. But if you want to see that women don't have focus, look at what they are enduring in their marriages, then you know that women don't have focus. Women have focus to get the bag.
Yeah.
The minute the man comes into the picture, Shanyenga no ferende, onware no ferende, ay, out and everything. Then she gets into a relationship, then she blocks everybody out. And she's not actually in a situation where she's being abused or isolated. She's the one that isolates from everybody else just to be in her relationship, because it seems like they like relationships so much. Do you know that women sit in houses where their men are abusing their children and they say nothing? And their men are sexually assaulting their children and they say nothing. So what does that say about women? It's not, women are not focused. Women are focused on the bag, and then when they get the bag, they are not even content in pushing more.
Women don't know how to multitask.
Yeah. They're like goldfish.
If you check from long ago, men were having many children, but all the children are sorted at those households.
Mm-hmm.
Men are having businesses, different streams of income.
Yeah.
Many, not in the same town and region, even it is from there to there, but everything is running. Until here at home, everyone is eating.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going to work.
Yeah.
And having multiple partners also.
You know? Their own cubicle, on one cane. That's okay next week, yeah.
Yeah.
So next week is my 10.
Now, when women started now also wanting the same thing, they are failing.
Yeah.
But the matriarch, my battery is running low.
No problem. Bye.
It was very good. I will listen.
Okay, no problem.
But we must engage with the minister.
We will engage that minister.
Yeah, with the, not number one, number two.
Yeah, deputy.
Yeah. He looks.
One day we'll start thinking that he is actually the actual minister, because
in my head it's like that. I'm
guys, in 5 years, if he's the guy that's running, I'm like, guys, let's just to try and get your kumano no pen check any kilonga ya ehi nyalia pewa man.
Yeah.
Oh no, I didn't know my yo monami pia man.
Yeah. I'm not Namibia, man.
Oh, Namibia, man.
Mm.
All right. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are you guys doing? Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about the struggles of the boy child. Hello, hello.
Let me thank God for the best friend. Oh, my God. Yeah. Please let me. I'll feel guilty if I don't thank God for him, just to appreciate this import.
Uh-huh.
And then now you went deep, explaining very well, very well, on the issues that the problems that men are facing.
Mm.
And also the opportunities that you have just, your discussion actually went more deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And let me appreciate the efforts and the contribution of the best man.
That was,
especially when he started with the point of men, they have that fear.
Mm.
When their women are educated, their women are well off, just that kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
There is that perception, that fear that I also alluded unto when I say an unknown fear.
Yeah.
That significant fear is very important, and they need to be educated on that.
Yeah.
At one point, when we were doing this gender study, one of my classmates asked, but why is it like that?
Mm.
I say, what is it?
So when you are a woman is educated, men don't want to get married to those educated women.
Yeah.
When a woman is not educated, again, they don't want to get educated. They will tremble on that thing.
Yeah.
One of, can you see now that fear? It must be rooted out. Like you said, man should be educated. And then so that they can, you know, really understand that, yes, this world is not yours. It's tough outside there.
Yeah.
So you need to work hard with kind of disciplines, the mechanism that the best friend talks about there. I think I don't want to dilute there. And we seriously, and you know, like when you mention about kettles and other things.
Yeah.
For example, in our house. In our house. So me, I grew up there in my father's house and my mother, my stepmother, when I was just 7 years old. My father brought me there.
Yeah.
And I found my sister there, the one that I follow. It's a girl. And those many other people there who were just related. Tekura Mumbo.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna get married. Tomorrow I'll go to all your world.
Yeah.
Now she, oh, my God, she posted that I'm not a monster anymore. So you know, but we used to look go. We used to do some rotation of looking after cattle.
Yeah.
But the girls were not doing that.
Yeah. As if the cows are never for them. As if they will never eat those cows in their life.
The boys are the ones. Sometimes you spend 2 days, you don't go to school, you are looking after cattle.
But the girls are going to school every day.
But the only good thing is that before you go to cattle, you know, like in our house, if my father is there, if he's not there, my mother is there. So, omunango karamu ibengero katenda nare kucha, omunango karamu apendu kongula, tamukata rendongi, tayendongi udinagara gashipanwa, dashipanwa mekove, opondia pite monyo, tanditura koshu kupuro, 5:30, yomatameka.
Yeah.
Kupolo.
My start.
Is it worth six take a denga? Nyama mana?
Yeah.
But and then those who are going to school, to go to school, but if you tend to remain, you continue plowing. So until the time when you knock off to go and open up the cattle for grazing.
Yeah.
Off you go. The only good thing is that there we were working because this food is there.
Yeah. That's where the food comes
from. This time around, it was a nice time. Because I was moving around in the region and I was there most of the time. It was so running and nicely. You see the harvest?
Yeah.
Precious. Sprendious. Prendi. How do you pronounce that
plenty.
Word? Plenteous. Now I'm using that word. It's plenty.
You must say abundant.
Abundant. In abundance.
Yes.
Because I was listening here, I don't know where they were having this, I think it's international platform. I don't know where, maybe it's in that suburb. I'm not been following the most of this newspaper, but I don't read them.
Oh. Yeah.
Can you see how hectic it is?
It's hectic.
So now, and they're talking about women, they are left out, and they are empowering them.
Mm.
And the economic empowerment.
Mm.
So we have documents that just talk about women economic empowerment.
Mm.
Where are we seeing a document talking about men's economic empowerment?
Yeah. Yeah. The agenda is wild. Like, I don't know. The agenda is very, very wild. And for me, as a boy child mom and a girl child mom, I'm worried. I'm worried for both the genders because we are empowering one gender while we are breaking down the other gender, but yet we want the population to continue. Now, who is going to marry our very empowered girls? Are we going to be having timid men that are intimidated by the girl child's power because he was never given an opportunity to thrive? He was not even looked at, or what are we going to have? Like, you know, it's dangerous. We are treading on, I don't know, it's not going to end well.
I don't even know. You see, if you look at, it's only nowadays, and you know, one of my name is controversial.
Mm.
Those people who have been with me in the work and even my managers and everybody, they know. One of my name is, some of them, they call me Bazooka.
Mm-hmm.
My boss called me Bazooka.
Mm-hmm.
But this other called me, this is controversial.
Mm.
So if you go in the region, you say controversial, Buana.
Mm-hmm.
Controversial. So why? It's because sometimes you question.
Yeah.
And you see, our minister, if you read your speech, he's so skilled.
Mm-hmm.
She always mention about the boy's child.
Yeah.
But many a times, our documents and all the things, they also require some review.
Mm.
What you are saying is just that, I don't know, I wish I could be in position to really position some of this program.
Mm.
I'm not saying that they are not well positioned or whatever. I'm just saying in my own view.
Yeah.
Because I know it's only very highly dedicated young ones like your children who would partake in this program.
Yeah.
And we are saying that we want to empower the children.
Yeah.
So that they can be on equal footing.
Yes. So we can have powerful men and powerful women.
Yes.
Yes, together.
If you have weak men,
so that they can have powerful kids.
The society. Mm-hmm. Because I know women, like the best friend said, sometimes some of them also fail to manage.
Yeah.
These men.
Yeah.
Who have got the potential. What is the other concept that you're using about confidence?
Confidence.
And once you get them into the mainstream, you really empower them, create awareness.
Yeah.
In everything.
Mm.
So, and obviously you get, I think some of this unequal partnership, like you said, when you go to the police, you know what I mean, I've been going there because I like gender.
Yeah.
But it's part of my work anyway.
Mm.
So now, it's really awareness that need to be created.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, you know, Crane Window, the demarcation and all the things.
Yeah.
It was only, I think it was working very well when there was this other woman that I know.
Mm.
So now, you see there the attitude.
Yeah.
The behavior toward the man who is there to submit his whether it's grievance or whatever complaints.
Yeah.
So they tell you that, no, how do we deal with this gender?
Mm.
Yeah. The big commander in many, many, many of the situations.
Mm.
But although now they are now aware, people are creating awareness and holding all these things, but these things is still there.
Yeah.
Most of these men who commit this horrible
crimes, yeah.
Violence,
mm.
slapping and all these things.
Mm.
You area ask a question whether you can be, women don't normally slap.
Mm.
If you find a woman that slap you, ne? Mm. Maybe I do. Slap you. I'm just talking about normal relationship.
Yeah, I understand.
So, but the outside there, you see them slapping their men. Ah, because it's drunk, you fall this way.
Mm.
So now their slap is on the psychological and emotional abuse that we talked about.
Okay.
That's their slap. And this one is very acidic.
Yeah.
There are those who are even beating women, and there is mostly women who are beating children.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I don't, like, in all honesty, some of us will go to the grave without never being beaten by our fathers. But the other gender.
Why is it like that?
To laugh somebody kalare.
And if you are there,
aye.
Oh my God, my God.
Laugh on boy kalale. Pendelele nai. What is that, my dear?
Then go. If you dare to speak about it, me.
Uh-huh.
Look at the fire that's coming from there, the soup pepe.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm talking to my daughter, I'm talking to my child.
I'm talking to my child, Vapas J.
Oh,
where do you fit you?
Oh, I'm going to go there.
I'm going to go there.
I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there.
I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go
relationship. What kind of relationship is that?
Is
one?
That one, yeah.
When he's going to bully the children,
yeah.
He's going to make them
control
bitter.
The kids.
There will be no freedom.
who are you talking to? Eh?
Oh,
that one is not a problem until the child is old enough. Hey, now the 30-year-old child is being asked, who are you talking to? It's none of your business, Mimi.
Yeah, it's
30 years old, it's most not yours. Nanga ngeronde ndino option and on sane wene haende kuhalelaka. Because mothers have a tendency of going into their sons' lives, especially their romantic lives, ne? And they think that it's normal. It's not normal for you to want to be choosing the person that your son is going to be sleeping with. Because if your son had the choice also, he wouldn't say that guy that you chose there is the perfect guy.
I don't know, me, I don't know. What is happening in the thing, then it's extremely bad.
It's very bad. Yeah, everyone is just not good enough for their sons. Shawa tarane sana une. But you're not good enough for their son, huh? Ay! Shawa tarane sana une.
Yes, I've heard about that one. I've heard about a lot of stories.
Uh-huh.
Now that some of these women, they will tell you, no, I was in love with this and that.
But his mother.
And then suddenly my mother and my father, my relative, did not approve it. They didn't want, so I didn't get married.
Usually with women, the reason that happens is usually when the guy is abusive and they can tell. On the other side, to be honest, ne, on the guy side, if the guy's parents are saying that they don't want you, ne? It's not the parents, but if the mother, ne, then the sometimes the mother has no real reason as to why she doesn't want you.
Many of them, even the relatives, some of them they do it deliberately, but I'm now doing saying that in father and father, you know, this close relation. They will just say, because, not because of abuse, because that if it's abuse, obviously you'll be the first one to run away from the abusive relationship.
Not really.
Yeah, except some, you know, there
not
are
also really,
people
my dear.
You are right.
The only
you are
people
right.
that run away from abusive situations are the ones that didn't fall in love yet. When you notice, when you notice that he may be abusive and you don't love him yet, then you can run. But if you are already in love, my dear,
that's why maybe we might just go parallel, like the you have now touched about the women and with the best friend, and perhaps the women could be the one contributing to the runaway of the boys, or dropping out or whatever.
The struggle of men.
The struggle of men. Yeah, that's the topic. The struggle of men.
All right. Anyway. Let's quickly dive back into the conversation before we leave.
No, it's okay. We can end up here.
Okay.
It's only my gratitude to go to my best friend there. Your best friend. Best friend.
My dear. Yo, thank you so much,
God bless.
God bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So we're diving into the conversation of what are the black man's struggles? What are the real struggles? And we are looking at everything, right? We're not only looking at violence. We are really honestly looking at everything. I want to know what are you guys going through? I know, like, yes, unemployment is poverty, is uneducated, is what is happening to you guys? This is your platform for you guys to have conversations and really honestly just talk about it. But also before that, I'm going to, for educational purposes, I'm going to play you guys a clip of a black man talking about black man struggles. Okay. And we will take it from there. This gentleman is going to give us a brief overview of what he assumes.
Death, depression, divorce, debt, devastation, deadbeat, despair. There is a black male mental health struggle. I became a therapist in therapy. The unsustainability of black male trauma, black male rage, black male resentment is a real thing, an unsustainable thing. So what's the struggle? One in four psychologists are black. And when I say black, I mean that includes black men and black women. According to the American Psychological Association, 4% psychologists worldwide, in this country, are black. For every 100,000 black Americans, only one black psychiatrist. 7% of black men received any form of mental health services in the last couple years. Right? Black youth, particularly black boys, are introduced with the struggle of mental health at a very early age. It's treated in elementary school by suspensions or special education referrals. What's the black struggle? That's it. The inadequacy of practitioners who look like black men, who have a unique experience with mental health. Right? What does that mean for all of us? The current mental health industry does not sustain black male trauma, black male rage, black male resentment, which means we have to look at the factors that are uniquely attributed to black males in this country. What makes me qualified to talk about black male mental health struggle? Well, beyond the obvious of being a black male, I crashed in 2008, the year the mortgage industry crashed, the real estate market, right? That same year, my mother informed me she had stage 4 cancer. In 2009, I became a father for the fourth time. But this time was unique because the child was already 21 years old, which means right before my 17th birthday, I had a child. In 2010, my mother ended up passing away from cancer. I moved her from Chicago to Georgia before the diagnosis to live out her golden years under the sun of the South to work with me and for me. She ended up passing. In 2011, I went to what I now label as a very eventful divorce. I lost everything. I walked away from everything. I lost my family, my spouse at the time, time away from the children, assets, things of that nature. In 2012, I experienced my very first panic attack. I found myself in the middle of a public park here in Atlanta, lying on my back, crying profusely for what seems like hours. In 2013, I had my second panic attack. This one was different. This one, I was with a partner at the time, and she said that she overheard me saying some things that were troubling. Later on that day, I had a special event I needed to be at. My friend at the time took me to the local emergency room because as black males, that is how we address our mental health struggles, right? When it really gets to a point, we have to see someone at the local hospital and emergency room. So, of course, they kept me 72 hours suicide watch. I missed the court date. My partner at the time took the signed medical excuse to court at the time that I was supposed to report. The judge refused it, subsequently generating a bench warrant, and I eventually had to address that. That same year, 2013, my father passed just when we were attempting to repair a 40-plus year fragmented, fragile, broken relationship. He passed, went to Chicago, did the mourning, came back to Atlanta 2 days after mourning my dad's death, was pulled over by local law enforcement. Had to settle that warrant from a few months earlier. So for the next 57 days, I sat in a jail cell, in a jumpsuit, grieving what I thought initially was only my father's death, what I now know was all of the stressors, the losses, the trauma, the rage, the resentment I had since I crashed the same year the mortgage and real estate market crashed. So during that time, I went to 5 different therapists. Now, I wasn't shy from therapy because my mother, bless her heart, she was ahead of her time. She took me to see a therapist in high school. We're talking in the 80s. The good thing is it ended up being family therapy, and we learned a lot of tools and strategies that really benefited us. But when it was my time, during 08 to 2013, it felt differently, right? But I still went. I went to five different. The first four, nothing. It was cool to share my struggles, but I didn't get any help. Why? Because it was irrelevant, right? The practitioners who did not look like me were culturally incompetent. They meant well. I didn't have time to teach them about my lived experiences. I needed tools and strategies. I needed them like yesterday. So after going through four different therapists, I gave up on therapy. I knew I was in trouble. It was evidence in my life. I still didn't know where to go. Good friend urged me to take one more attempt to finding a therapist. So I did. I found this gentleman. Walked in his office. I knew the drill, right? Sat down, poured out my heart, right, for the next 30, 35 minutes. And at the end of my spiel, the gentleman looked me in my eye and asked me this question that forever changed my life. He said, "You ever thought about becoming a therapist?" I said, "Man, what? Are you kidding me? I'm here for therapy. I'm not here for career coaching." He said, "No, hear me out." He said, "Look, I am about to retire. I've been doing this 35 years. I've seen black men come and go. I can't help them. I don't think the entire mental health industry can help them, but I think you can." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, you're not clinically depressed. You're emotionally exhausted. You're sad. You're angry. You're devastated, right? You're going through trauma. You're grieving, but it's not clinical depression. It's the unique experience of being a black male in this country, right? I'm not asking you to give up on therapy. Just find someone who looks like you. Better yet, become the person you're looking for. You are your own solution." And I left out of his office feeling defeated, right? Devastated, right? I was pissed. Walked out of it. I said, "Okay, no worries. I'll figure it out. As a matter of fact, I'm not doing anything." 3 weeks later, I started to feel better. His words touched me spiritually, mentally, emotionally. I started feeling lighter, right? Things started to make sense to me. He went on to say, "Go back to school. Let your journey be a part of your healing. And somehow I think this is your purpose." This is what the last therapist told me. And that's what I did. That gentleman was a middle-aged white guy. So I did what he told me. Right? It makes sense. He said, "It's no accident you're here." I did it. Didn't necessary training. I dropped out of PhD program so I can add D to that list of D's I started off with, right? So I got back in school. I had nothing else going on. It changed my life. So now I spend my days supporting black males, those who care about them and love them, and those who are raising them with a unique approach to black mental health struggles. You see, the struggle is because black men are not being taken care of in a way that really touch, moves, and inspires them, right? Black males, we don't do well with one-on-one, right? We don't like isolation. We definitely don't do well with labeling. You know, in the hood, we call that name calling. We don't do well with that, right? We don't do well with code switching when it comes to our lives, right? And we definitely don't have time to break down our lived experiences from others who need some type of explanation before they can give us some colonized version of how we need to go about healing. So I set out to create a unique experience for black men to address the black male mental health struggle. You see, as black males, I found out we need some things. We know a lot. We just need it in a way that we can use our own language to get it, right? We know about breath work, right? We know about meditation. We know about yoga. We're even for the dialectical approach, the cognitive behavior approach, right? We're good with relationship and individual therapy. We'd rather have it in group, barbershop. That's where we're comfortable, right? Most of us have had some type of sport, so we get the importance of breath work. We get that. We just need it to come from someone who looks like us and who has walked the walk and talked the talk, right? See, as black males, we don't do what you say. We do what you do, right? So if you could tell us, show us, guide us, walk with us, we're on to something. And that's what I did. So how does that look? How does that work in terms of sustaining the existing mental health energy industry? Well, we have to take more of a uncolonized approach to black mental health. We have to encourage one another that there are certain signs and symbols that are indicators of distress and not necessarily mental disorders or mental illnesses, right? But we need to be able to convey it to this unique group, black males, who have been born under racism. Because racism, aggression, and microaggression, oh, born into that, make something of you, right? It's exhausting. So when you start adding on debt and depression and divorce, you get the picture. You have now become exhausted, right? Not necessarily a mental illness, but things are definitely out of order, right? So that's what we need. We need the existing practitioners to become culturally competent on what this means for the people they serve. We need young college students who are black, preferably male, to be encouraged to go into mental health, right? We need the existing black practitioners to be amplified and elevated, right? And we need all of us to know that there is a unique experience for black males that starts when we are born, mostly caused by racism, right? Exacerbated by unemployment, increased with PTSD symptoms due to violence, right? And it starts when we're in elementary school with suspensions and special education referrals. So I implore all of us to sustain the existing mental health industry. We have to take into consideration the uniqueness of the black male mental health struggle. That goes for first responders on every level. It goes for clergy, university, teachers, students, nonprofit organizations. Right? Law enforcers, lawmakers, politicians, all of us have to be re-educated on what that means uniquely for black males and our struggle. And in the spirit of the late, great Earl DMX Simmons, in order to speak for the people, must walk amongst the people. Rest in peace, Dante Wright. Rest in peace, Adam Toledo. Rest in peace, George Floyd. Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, hello. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys get the drift of what I'm trying to say. I hope you guys are listening. I hope you guys get the drift of what I'm trying to say. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll close off the conversation of a black man's struggles. We'll close the conversation off tomorrow. But initially, ladies and gentlemen, this is a conversation that I want to know about your struggles. I want to know about what a black man goes through as a black man. What are the problems? Why? Why are you like that? Why do you think that you are like that? And also, right, I want to spark a little light, because I was researching for a conversation that would really motivate and touch my heart and your heart as well. And I stumbled upon these conversations, right? And I've noticed that, in all honesty, when we are looking at the dynamics of the girl child being empowered and so forth, right? I do also believe that we are pushing the black male into specific corners that don't actually assist the black male. I've noticed that the hospital has male nurses, right? But the male nurses are minimal. But I don't see psychologists, black male psychologists. I don't see them. And even those that work at psychiatry, black men that work at psychiatry, I also don't see their, I don't see the zazz. I don't see that spark. You see how when you listen to me, you get that spark, which, oh, matriarch man. Yeah. Like that spark, kucha. There's something there. It's either she loves us, it's either she wants the best for us, it's either she's really invested in this, or she's trying really. I don't see that. I don't see that with our guys in the field of helping others, right? I don't see that in the field. Maybe with the paramedics, I really do honestly see it. I see their compassion, especially towards same gender. I see their compassion. I see the way they talk to each other. I see the way they talk to patients when patients and accident victims. I see the compassion that's there, but with other fields, I don't see it. And I don't see a male doctor that is coming through with a lot of heart and with a lot of compassion, especially towards, other black male. I see jobs. I see money, I see income, I see sustainability amongst them, but I don't see what they are doing for their community. I don't see them going on outreach programs. I don't see them trying to help the black male. I don't see them trying to help the black man. And even in areas where the black man is supposed to be helped, right? The people at the forefront of helping the black man are black women or women in general, right? I see the fighting for the men to be done by women, and that one never works out, because unfortunately it has to be a man to man thing. It's like the little schools, what is it, boys club? There's no boys club. And that is the real problem. The real problem here, part of our problem here, is that you will never go to the psychologist or the psychiatrist you'll never go to the psychologist or psychiatrist and really honestly be in a position of really taking in what they say, because they don't look like you. They don't understand your struggles. You look at them, and one, if it's not a white woman, it's a black woman. Still a woman, right? Colored woman. Still a woman. And she has never been a man in her life. And she has never been a black man in her life. And she has never been a black man in this country in her life. So even if she can relate to what you're going through by paper, she can never relate to you with what you're going through by culture, by belief, by gender, never. And those are the elements that are missing. So I'm encouraging you, young boy child, if you are a humanitarian at heart and you love other people, right? Consider the field of psychology. Consider the field of psychiatry. Consider the field of social work. Consider the field of being the go-to person for people for men that look like you to come to and have a safe haven. Because right now, that is what we are struggling with. How many of you guys have actually ever gone to therapy? And even those that have gone to therapy, they have come back from therapy and said that, yeah, that psychologist just wants me to tell them my problems. And that's what. There's no real help. And the worst part about it is that there's help in psychology. There's help in psychiatry. There's help in social work. There is help, but we can't unlock that kind of help when we can't relate to the people that we are talking to. And sadly, right? Most of the guys that look like you and have walked your journeys and your struggles, right? They are phasing out, ne? They're phasing out. They are dying now, and they don't have pre-successors that are male. Their pre-successors are all women that want to learn. So be the next Whittaker. Be the next Whittaker. Somebody that specializes in trauma, yes, that specializes in in-depth things. Be the next that, you know, be the change that you wanted for yourself as a man, as a black man in this country, so that maybe, just maybe, you will be the savior of the next, generation of black men, so that you can find solace. And you can change your country. You can change the well-being of your people. You can change so many things with your presence. And you do it, and you do it so well that your name speaks for itself. That you never have to market yourself, because your name speaks volumes. Be that. And then when you are that, I can tell you that you are going to make this little Namibia something amazing, something spectacular, something that you can be proud of, something that you can go home also. Ladies and gentlemen, I bid you guys farewell. I love you forever and a day. You are important to me.